But we begin today with an initiative that was announced this morning from Council Democrats. They call it Safe Neighborhoods Now. A couple plans to stabilize neighborhoods, reduce crime, and it's got the folks from law enforcement even supporting it. Even when you get Democrats and law enforcement on the same side of the table. And maybe I need to go buy a lottery ticket today because I might be able to hit with that. Brother Rick from the Fraternal Order of Police here in Indianapolis and Marion County is on our live line in the studio. Ryan Kramer, one of the staff members. These folks that do a lot of the work for members of the City County Council, and Vice President John Barth. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's Rick Snyder with FOP. So now, you know, Vice President John Barth, what is this proposal? What did you all unveil today?
Sure thing. Thanks for having us on, Amos. As we know, we have a serious crime problem, especially a violent crime problem here in Indianapolis, with to date 75 murders having occurred, a huge increase in volume of murders over the last several years. In addition, we have a serious problem in some of our neighborhoods with dilapidated houses that need to be repaired and no serious program to really address that other than tearing them down. Right. So we decided we need to do something to solve both problems because weak neighborhoods help cause crime. So we thought, listen, let's combine these two things. Let's put an initiative together that, number one, invests in our core neighborhoods, our neighborhoods that are seeing way too much crime. Make houses better, make houses stronger, or even build houses on vacant lots, and then combine that with what we need, more law enforcement in these neighborhoods, to bring these two things together, new houses fixed up. Then we'll offer these houses for a two-year period to a sheriff's deputy or an IMPD officer where they can live there for 2 years working hand-in-hand with the neighborhood association, the folks who live there to make the neighborhood stronger. Place. And then when the house, after that 2 year period, the officer could buy the house at market rate, or it could be sold and putting that house back on the tax rolls and continuing to make our city a stronger, better place.
Let me ask Rick Snyder, is this something that appeals to the men and women of law enforcement?
Well, yeah. And Amos, as you know, we've been on the show a few times now discussing the need for strong community policing models. And the EPIC community policing model that the FOP has endorsed and put forward. And today's announcement occurred in the Mapleton-Fall Creek redevelopment area where the EPIC community policing model was actually piloted and proven successful. The concept is a good concept, and it allows us to further strengthen the partnership between our community and our police officers while at the same time highlighting the value of a high-visibility police presence in our neighborhoods.
Ryan Kramer, where is the money going to come from? Because every time somebody suggests money being spent, if the Democrats suggested, the Republicans are against it because they would rather have the money used for something else. Or if Republicans suggest money is used, the Democrats saying it ought to be used for something else. Where's the money going to come from?
The money's going to come from Rebuild Indy funds. And according to code, we can use Rebuild Indy funds for abandoned homes, demolishing homes, capital improvement projects. So we're going to put $1 million from Rebuild Indy funds into rehabbing these abandoned, dilapidated houses, into building new houses on vacant lots.
When I looked at the proposal, I saw the $1 million, but then I saw five houses. Why would it cost over $200,000 to build a house?
Well, the construction is going to cost maybe about $130,000 to $150,000 for a new house, depending on if it's a rehab, new construction. But there's also construction management fees, property management fees, additional development fees for the houses for the neighborhood corporations to implement the programs.
Any thought, Councilman Barth, about utilizing this program to combine professional, you know, house builders who do this for a living, but also provide employment opportunities for people in the neighborhood to get those particular skills, which could lower some of the cost of building a house? In other words, a cross between Habitat and a market, you know, rate development, which could allow you to rehab or build more houses for the same dollars.
I think that's an excellent idea. I've actually worked on a proposal like that before in the past to see what we can do to make sure when we're actually doing construction to say how can folks in the neighborhood learn the skills that are being used to build that house so they can play it forward and continue to maintain employment. So I think that's a great idea. Part of what we're doing here is partnering with community development corporations mm-hmm. all across the city.
Right.
So it's not just going to be in one place. And so through these partnerships and through programs they have and existing nonprofit partnerships, I'd love to get to something like that.
Does this program, Rick Snyder, have more of an appeal for the younger police officers, maybe those that don't have a family yet, as opposed to the veteran officers that may, you know, have children, you know, in teenage or they're getting older and maybe they already have a house that's established?
Well, I think in reality it could appeal to both.
Okay.
However, I would suggest that if we are now moving to a systemized recruitment and hiring strategy where mm-hmm. we're going to truly hire the hundreds of police officers we need over the next 5 years, this will be an excellent recruiting tool, especially for those candidates who may not even live in Indianapolis. It'll be another step to help incentivize them to not only select IMPD, but Indianapolis is a city where they work and raise their family.
So it's sort of like, be a cop and get a house.
Well, and it's a great way to get established. It's a great way to get your feet rooted into the concept mm-hmm. of the police being the community and the community being the police. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just like to remind everybody that police officers are husbands and wives. They have families as well, and they care just as much about the neighborhoods and safe schools as anyone else does as well. So this is an excellent opportunity to really reinforce that, but also show the value, again, of having that police presence in the neighborhoods and the building the trust between the police and the community as well.
With City County Councilor John Barth, Vice President of the Council, Ryan Kramer of the Council staff, Rick Snyder of Indianapolis FOP, 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name. So let me go to Buck right quick. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Amos? You know I love your show.
Thank you.
I want to comment on the guy, what he's talking about with the police and everything. That sounds good, with the housing and everything. But I'm starting up a program I talked about a while back on the show, and it's now getting ready to run. But I'm looking at the point where when you said, why does it cost so much to build a house and those fees? It's kind of like you want to do something for the city, but it's like these people, they want money. I'm thinking, well, we're trying to make it better. So why do you have to be, you know, why do you have to get so much money for building a house that I know that you can build a $130 house for like $65,000 and with no problem? But it's kind of like people who wants to help out, they want to get their pockets lined up. And my program is just the opposite of that. I can build anything anywhere in the world. It don't matter. I can make all the money, but I'm not trying to make all the money. I'm trying to help folks get jobs. And my program is basically along that line. And when you said something about the neighborhood, I was like, man, that works perfect for me. Where I want to basically go into the neighborhoods and teach people how to train them how to build houses. But at the same time, it'd be a nonprofit company where we ain't trying to make a profit, but we can build something just as good as anybody else. And then the people in the neighborhood can learn the skills, get the knowledge, and that kind of stuff. And it just makes me frustrated when I hear people talk about how much it costs to build a house. I'm thinking, no, that's because people want to get their pockets lined. When, okay, if you're really doing it to help the folks, help the people in the city, then don't be trying to charge your arm and leg when you know you don't have to.
All right, yeah, you made some good points. John Barth, Ryan Kramer, is this something where we need to get Buck's information and pass it on to you to see how community groups can be involved? Because my thing is, take the $1 million, we can build 8 to 10 to 15 quality houses, something that could stand that tornado that breezed through here yesterday. That's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely, you should get the information and pass it on. We'll start with the Mapleton and Fall Creek CDC. I'm sure they'd love to talk about that program and how we can, that plan, and how we can potentially partner.
All right, let me go to Raymond right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
And the panel. I have a question primarily for the FOP representative and the city, the rebuilding project. I know you had the 2020 plan people on, and I asked them something really similar. And just today, I passed 18 police cars, and I know they're doing their job. No offense to the police at all. I appreciate what they're doing. But I want to ask a question is, why am I seeing so many officers parked or driving during the day when I get off many times at 1 a.m. and I don't see one, and I drive through two different neighborhoods for an 8-mile distance and I don't see one? Can you explain how you do your police patrolling? Because isn't it that during the day people are working or on task, and at night is when things happen? Or am I, do I have something wrong?
That's a great question, Rick. And yeah, I know you guys don't run the department, but you're out there talking to the folks that are out there.
No, and that's true, and we, you know, we represent the people who do the work for the police department. And the thing that's important to note is a couple of things. One, during the day where you're seeing a high volume of police vehicles, that's one of the key aspects and values of the off-duty use of the vehicles as well. So, like, we always like to ask everyone, did you see police cars today? Yes, I did. Well, which one was on duty and which one was off duty? I don't know. Well, neither do the bad guys. Late at night, what you're typically finding is there's going to be less vehicles out anyways because of the time of the hour. But then you've also got the extra demand on our officers who now there's been a significant change in the way they do their case reporting. So now they actually have to pull and park or take their laptop into a police roll call site to type their police reports now. Mm-hmm. In the past, they used to be able to call those in by telephone and be right back out onto the street. Now they actually type those reports themselves. That takes a bit more time. It's more efficient in the long run, but it does take some more time. But unfortunately, that pulls them off of the street some as well. But the other aspect of that, too, is to always remember, even though you may not be seeing them in those neighborhoods, there's a good chance that they're seeing you, and that's part of the strategy as well.
All right, let me go to Yvette right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yvette? Hi.
Hi. Yvette, go ahead.
How are you doing? This is God's helping him, and I think that's good and dandy. Yvette, there's a lot of homeless.
Wait. Yvette, I need to hold you because the phone that you're on, the connection is kind of fuzzy, and it sounds like you're talking to us from Neptune instead of around the corner. So if you could very quickly redial if you've got a landline close to you or can move around from where your cell phone is, because I'm sure everybody would like to hear your call and your comment, but it's not fair to you and to our guests if we can't hear you very clearly. So if you can call back, we'd appreciate it. 239-1310 this afternoon's name. So now this proposal will be introduced at the council meeting on what, Monday the 14th?
July 14th.
That's right. The first meeting in July.
That's the first meeting in
July. Any indication of where the Republican minority or even the mayor stands on this proposal?
I've started some early discussions, preliminary, with a few Republican counselors, and the initial response I've gotten is supportive. Mm-hmm. And so I plan to continue to expand that discussion and reach out. I think this is the kind of proposal that really should have broad support. So I love to walk into this with a broad set of co-sponsors, Republicans and Democrats alike.
Rick Snyder, while I have you here, there have been a series of IMPD officers accused of being under the influence of alcoholic beverages while on the job. Should we be concerned, or is this the system working?
Well, I would say both. I would say that it is the system working. And within that, you know, again, our police officers are humans as well, and mm-hmm. subject to human failings as well. However, this is a career, this is a job. With the stressors that are placed on our women and men in police, it's a job that will chew you up and spit you back out. Mm. And you usually receive very little thanks and quite a bit of ridicule for it. We all know that, and that's part of it. And so, on a whole, police officers are often more susceptible to these types of issues. But I would say this, in every one of them, you also have to note that it's also fellow officers who are identifying the situation mm-hmm. and addressing it. Not to get somebody, but to get them help. Mm-hmm. And every officer should be held accountable for their actions. But we also have to have a human side to that as well. And we're always the first group to say that anyone accused of wrongdoing deserves a fair and impartial review of their actions. And they need to be held accountable. But we need to keep in mind that they're also human beings and subject to some of the same failings.
And one of the reasons I bring this up, I was talking to somebody about this issue this morning, and there was a concern, and we understand. And I know what the department's trying to do with the zero tolerance, but I noticed that yesterday, in the wake of after the storms hit in western Wayne Township, IMPD officers responded, and I'm sure they were not only on-duty officers. They were off-duty officers as well, and I expressed a concern, gee, what if somebody had worked the overnight shift and they were home at that hour and they were kind of relaxing and maybe imbibing, and all of a sudden they get the call, they see, and that's what officers do. They run towards the danger instead of away from the danger, and then they get over there. They didn't know they were going to, you know, put themselves on duty, and then somebody noticed, hey, wait, have you been drinking? And then we got a problem. Do we need, in the context of emergencies, maybe rethink how this all is being handled? And I recognize we got to balance this off, but is that something we need to be looking at?
Well, it's a fair point. I would say that, you know, officers self-dispatch themselves if they are in the if they have the ability to perform the duties at hand. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, because of a variety of reasons, they're injured, they're ill, they're on a medication, or they have consumed alcoholic beverage in their off-duty capacity, they know that they cannot respond. That's part of that. However, the point that you're making there, Amos, is a very valuable one as well, which is the value of having a decentralized police force and a decentralized police fleet. Again, this is the value of the off-duty use of those vehicles. Those officers in times of emergencies, much like the Southside explosion a few years ago, are able to respond quickly with the specialized equipment that they need and began performing emergency services for the citizens of Marion County and Indianapolis without even being asked or dispatched to do so. That's a big difference between our police department here in the heartland of America versus many other agencies throughout the country. Many other agencies, you would never even see that. And that's something that we ought to uphold and value and tout as a positive thing and something unique that we do in Indiana.
And I don't think a lot of people recognize it. I know somebody tweeted out a picture, I think it was the Wayne Township Fire Department, and showing the vehicles that were there at that area off of Raceway Road yesterday afternoon in the midst of all of that. And it just kind of hit me this morning when I was discussing that. Let me go quickly to a couple callers. We've got to move on to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to really get further clarification on the program that you guys are introducing for the police in terms of the housing. I think I recall you saying that they were going to be 2 years. I just wanted to clarify. Are you talking about 2 years rent-free, mortgage-free, no expenses for the officer, or am I understanding something different?
That essentially, it would be 2 years rent-free. It wouldn't count towards mortgage. It would just be making sure that an officer is in the community, not paying rent for that period of time.
However, but they're paying the light bill, the gas bill, the cable bill.
That's right. And they're still investing in the house, investing in the community by keeping up the outside, planting flowers and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's a great idea that would also serve as an incentive to bring officers aboard, and no amount of money can we pay you guys for the work that you do. So I just wanted to get some clarification on that.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Hattie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
I think that's a great idea. This house next door to me has been empty for 3 years. I called you about 6 weeks ago. You gave me the number to my councilwoman. It took her at least 3 weeks to get the grass cut. The back still looks like a forest. I had to pay someone to get the weeds that's in the backyard. So it's a great idea, and I don't know why someone hasn't tried to get it, but it's a great idea if a police officer would be in the neighborhood. Also, when I came out here 16 years ago, the sheriff's department was responsible because it was considered Lawrence then. And they would make their presence known. I have not seen one IMPD officer go up and down the street. So I don't even sit on my porch since things are so bad anymore because it's an open space for people to come through the breeze. Well, as you call it, the alleyway behind Holmes Cafe and all like that. So I think that's a great idea. But you know, it just doesn't make good sense for this home to have been empty for 3 years.
Who owns it?
The council lady said that she was going to have the immediate boarded up. That hasn't happened. And
I'm asking
who was the councilwoman?
Yeah, because the vice president is sitting here.
Well, Mary, I thought it was Vernon Brown, but it was Mary Mary Moriarty Adams.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I want you, Hattie, to hold on, and mm-hmm. I want you to give Chris, on his next to last day, give him your name and a number where you can reach during the day, and I'm going to personally put it in John Barth's hands, and he will follow up with Mary Moriarty Adams, because I think John would want to know, who owns the house? Why has it been empty for 3 years? Why hasn't it taken anybody, you know, why? And this is a frustration, while Chris gets that information from Hattie, this is a frustration. Is this something the council is going to look at, particularly in the budget process, having DMD or DPW or whoever's responsible for this move to really start? If a house has been vacant for 3 years, it seems to me it's time for eminent domain.
I think there are huge opportunities in this city to do so much better and so much more on our vacant land and our vacant and abandoned house problem. I once had a community meeting on this very topic about 2 years ago in the east side, the near east side, and the participation from the community was overwhelming. We had 100 plus people come to express their frustration. We really need to have a community-based interactive model that's much more responsive.
All right, Don will be our last caller with Rick Snyder of FOP, John Barth, Vice President of the City County Council, Ryan Kramer, the council staff. Hi, Don.
Amos, thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Amos?
Yes.
You talked about the officers working at nighttime and really can't take reports, a written report. How about installing in their vehicles like a verbal report, like a recorder? They've got videos to do a physical report, but what about just having a recorder where they don't have to take the time sitting somewhere, writing out a report? There's less officers in the street. They can just make a verbal report as they're going down, report number one, report number two, and so forth and so on, and keep going on. What about something like that?
Rick Snyder, we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole world. Are there police departments that do that?
Yeah, there are, and it's somewhat similar to what we used to have. Okay. We would dictate reports, but we would have to do it over the telephone, and then somebody would have to type that. Technology has progressed to the point where the gentleman's referring to, you could basically recite the report and have it typed by the computer as you're doing it. What I can tell you is that Director Riggs, Director of Public Safety, has done a really outstanding job of taking the necessary steps to upgrade all of our systems really at the same time, and we're in process of doing that now. I suspect that it's going to get much better. But you know, the other component to this is to see a stronger police presence at night. It will not only take that, but it'll also take getting these hundreds of officers that we need. And that's some of the first places that I know that they will go, are those late shift hours. Because, again, it just reinforces, Amos, you're hearing what we've been hearing for the last 2 years from our residents and our neighbors, which is they want to see a stronger police presence. And I'm confident as we move through the next budgetary process and with the help of Councillor Barth and councillors on both sides of the aisle and the mayor, we could get there, and we can get the officers, the amount of officers that we need.
John Barth, is there information on this proposal, Safe Neighborhoods Now, on the council's website at indy.gov?
No, we're putting the final touches on the proposal itself, mm-hmm. and so that will become public shortly before the July 14th introduction.
Okay.
For the near term, folks can go to my website, which is votebarth.com, okay. Where we have some information posted, and we'll have more coming up.
All right. Rick Snyder with FOP, thanks very much as always. Ryan Kramer with the council staff, and John Barth, City County Council Vice President. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.